Coors Light presents To Chill or Not to Chill. When your friend bets against your team, end the friendship. Or choose chill because you're drinking Coors Light with your buddy. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Flips the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean, Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Kept in by Granlund. Nice job. Moves to the middle of the ice. Holds it. Feeds it on the right. Eklund tried to feed it in front. And that was Wennberg, but a sliding, diving play by the defense led by Girard knocked it away. And Makar shoots. Score. Cale Makar, long distance, in the back of the net. Empty netter. 4-1. Colorado.
Yeah, a lot better tonight for sure. I thought we had more before check going. We were getting pucks back. We spent less time in our own end for sure. We were back to ending plays a little quicker. Neutral zone game was a little faster. So it was definitely better, but still some mishaps and a little bit of some struggle to put the puck in the back of the net 5-on-5.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We're on Morning Tide reacting to a Sharks loss once again, as they are now winless through their first six of the season. They do have a couple of points, so that is good. And last night was ultimately a step in the right direction. There are no moral victories. I will acknowledge that right from the get-go, but you do need to acknowledge that as a team, you can play better than what happened against Winnipeg. There are different types of losses in the NHL, and the way the Sharks played and lost against Colorado last night is arguably something much more respectable and something that they can look towards collectively as a unit and say, we did things well. It wasn't good enough to beat a team like Colorado, who, even though they are dealing with injury right now, still has a lot of top-end talent and is expected to be one of the top teams when we come to the end of the year. There are steps in the right direction you can take as a team, and the Sharks did that overall. I think across the board, the Sharks just collectively played a better game. Guys were more engaged. They were creating better opportunities. They were making better passes. They were not trying to do too much. There is still some inability finishing, but I do think that overall, the Sharks did exactly what they needed to do to give themselves a chance. Now, we start talking about, some of the things they need to do better. Finishing is one of them. That was talked about after the game. The Sharks need to be better at putting the puck in the back of the net when they get their opportunities, because they most definitely created opportunities. But last night, again, they did more to create. They did more to prevent. They did more to manage the game. Yes, they gave up an empty netter. And yes, it's, down early before they get themselves back into it. But they were able to get back into it earlier than their past couple of games, and it didn't get away from them. And I know that Colorado, being the talented team that they are going to be able to take it two teams. The Sharks gave themselves a chance. The Sharks stayed in the game, and that's what you have to ask them to do. Again, no moral victories, but I think if you're the Sharks and you're looking at the way you played in this game versus Winnipeg and Chicago, which were two steps back, this is a step in the right direction. Now for San Jose, one of the things that I really liked out of this game was an increased level of physicality. It wasn't just Henry Thrun having his first fight in the NHL. It was about everyone hitting more, about finishing their checks, about being more engaged, about being more just overall physical. And that's something that the Sharks need to do and focus upon while they are still working at a talent deficit. And it's something they're going to have to rely on throughout the entirety of the season. They just need to be that physical team. They need to be engaged. They need to make sure that the other team doesn't feel they can enter the zone on the wings unopposed and just think they're going to have an easy time in the game. The Sharks need to rely on non-talent levels of their game, because it's like the old adage of speed doesn't slump. Well, neither does physicality. If you invite physicality of the opposition in every single game, the opposition is not always going to want to play that game, and the Sharks have to be able to do it consistently. They have to be able to make life uncomfortable for their opposition, and I thought that was something that the Sharks did very, very well in this game. Not that Colorado was intimidated or anything like that, but they knew it was not going to be easy. The Sharks made life difficult for a team like Colorado, which has speed, obviously, which has skill. So what can you do to slow those things down? Make sure you've got a body on your man. Make sure you're finishing your checks. Make sure you're being physical. And that's got to be something that keeps up with the Sharks, the lesson from the game. Not every game is going to teach lessons, right? Like Winnipeg, the grand takeaway, don't get that many penalties. Same thing against Chicago. Those are obvious lessons. But I think the Sharks, in learning what can work for them in a positive, is that the physicality they can bring to the ice can allow them to have more positive success throughout the course of a game, especially now while they are continuing to grow as a team. The forecheck was better in this game. That's something that I am going to take away most consistently. We saw it was with Tyler Toffoli. He was down there engaging with guys, trying to turn the puck over. The Sharks were creating opportunities. They maybe didn't get the offensive zone time that they wanted from their initial possession. Colorado would win it back. The Sharks would then go after it. They would dig in deep on the boards. They would try and get them pinned along the half walls. They would try and get them in the corners. Whatever it takes in these instances of what the Sharks can bring while they are not still a top-level team, they have got to double down on it. Now, you can't commit too many men down and get yourself in an odd man rush every situation, but you know there were games previously where the Sharks looked a little bit hesitant on the forecheck, and I talked about this on NBC pre and post game, where there was one instance where Will Smith, and I'm not trying to pick on the new guy, but he was down on the forecheck and he was just hesitant. He looked like he didn't know where he was supposed to go, or he wasn't sure if he was supposed to engage or get back. And you know, those things only come from experience. If you have experience, you're going to be able to create opportunities for yourself. If you have experience, you're going to be able to know when to go in and when to get back. And these are things the Sharks young players are learning, and these are things the Sharks veterans are learning to establish as well. And that was something that was better throughout the course of the game. They knew when to commit to their forecheck. They knew when to get back. And that is, again, an aspect of their game that they can rely on when they're not finishing, when they're not as offensively potent, when they're at a talent deficit. They can look to that aspect of their game. They say, can we be physical? Yeah. Can we work on our forecheck? Yeah. Can we make sure that we don't make the mistakes that we're committing in previous games? Yes. These are all things that they have to be learning out of these games. And I think there is an ongoing process where they're figuring themselves out, because we talk about the roster turnover. We talk about the new guys. We talk about their ability to learn from one game to the next. These are the things that we're seeing in real time. And I wish it was easier and linear, and that, you know, in the next game, they're going to be fewer penalties. They're going to be more physical and they're going to have a better forecheck. It's never just that simple, but as they add and subtract aspects of positivity and quality from their game, you're going to see them playing more and more better hockey. Now, the too many penalties once again reared its head in this game. And, you know, I didn't love every penalty that was called. There were some where I thought, well, hi, how come we didn't get that call, or they did, or, you know, whatever you want to look at it. And the officials do the best job that they can. I'm not going to come down on them and crush them, but the Sharks need to avoid those situations where they're out reaching and they're just going to be a little bit slower. If they're going to get slower, just get back, right? Like, you've got to not be giving up 4 penalties per game. Now, the Sharks, again, there was a little bit whistle-happy nature to last night's game. They had 4 attempts on the power play, and they scored 1 game. But you're looking at 4 power plays for a team like Colorado, who has incredible top-level talent. You're going to find yourself in a bad place. And giving up 1 power play goal to the Avalanche, in addition to what their offensive capabilities are, it's not going to end well for you. So I think that, you know, there are learning moments for the Sharks. They've got to figure out what exactly they are doing to cause so many penalties, how they can rectify that and give themselves a better opportunity to not commit so many penalties. I know that's it's obvious, but again, this is 3 straight games: Chicago, Winnipeg, and now last night against Colorado, where the Sharks just committed penalties. You know, they put themselves in the crosshairs. They shot themselves in the foot, and they cannot continue to do that, because in addition to just putting yourself in a difficult situation, the penalty kill is tiring. Like, that puts a load on your guys, especially when you're on 5-on-3 situations. And, you know, 5-on-3, it's not just the critical situation of that moment. It's the fact that you are going to have to work your tail off in that situation. It's stressful. That carries over to the 5-on-4 that follows. It's overall just a very difficult situation to consistently put your team in. The Sharks need to kill that aspect of their game. Now, the penalty kill was better last night, and I think that you got to give them credit for not collapsing, when I think there were some instances of when, I think if they had collapsed, we all would have said to ourselves, yeah, I can see why that happened. But they stuck to their guns, and they were able to, you know, find ways out of difficult situations, even giving up 1. Again, if it's the Avs, I don't have too much of a problem with that. You'd love them to be perfect, but you know, that's the game of hockey. On the flip side of that, the power play was 1 for 5, 20% over the course of the season. That would be great. We know it's not going to be like that at all times, but the Sharks, I think while they are without Macklin Celebrini, I think they've got to be just a little bit better overall. I thought the power play compared to previous games was a little bit better. They did look like they were more cohesive. There was a little bit more of a plan. It looked like they were creating opportunities. It still was not as good as it needed to be, but it was better. It led to William Eklund's first goal of the year, which I'll take any day of the week. But eventually, you've got to figure out how to get that power play working better when you don't have, you know, Macklin Celebrini out there. It looked in game one much, much better. And you could see that was the difference between Macklin being out there, your first two units. You're relying on rookies out there as part of that power play unit as well, both, you know, one and two. But that first time, you have to be able to keep it in the zone. It's not just about getting a chance. If you get a great chance, but then they clear it, then you're giving them a chance to rest. You have to be able to get that first chance, but keep cycling the puck. Keep it in the zone. Get the rebound. Make them tired. Get their legs burning. Put them in that lactic mindset where you can just see their legs burning from all the defending they're doing. You need to just continue on them and, you know, get more and more shots on board so they can't get a change and wear them down and score the goal. And that's something that the Sharks obviously, I think they're still a work in progress, as I expected to be. This is not like some of the great power play units of recent memory we've seen where it's the same guys from one year to the next. And we could even, you know, talk about the continuity the Sharks had a generation ago where you knew what was going to happen. But ultimately, you got one out of that. And considering the way the offense was clicking otherwise, I'll take it. I will also note that in the last two games, William Eklund's activity on offense and his overall slipperiness, his overall ability to make himself engaged in the play has vastly improved from the first four games. Not that he was bad in any way, shape, or form, but something about his game against Winnipeg and last night against Colorado looked significantly more engaged and active, and that is a great sign. He was all over the place. He was finding the puck, and conversely, the puck was finding him. He was creating space. He was aggressive, and I think that always for any player, you're going to see them have a little bit of a adjustment period at the start of the year. Some guys start off hot, and I don't think that William Eklund started off cold in any way, shape, or form, but just watching his activity out there on the ice, watching him engage guys, watching him get physical, watching him get in guys' faces, watching him move the puck, find opportunity and space for himself and for his teammates. These were all great things to see. William Eklund in this game looked much more like the William Eklund that we saw in the second half of last year, and especially the final third. And if he keeps that up, the production is going to come. And obviously he had that goal last night, which was a great play for him. But while the Sharks are continuing to find their offense at the early part of the year, I think William Eklund's emergence in the last couple of games is a positive sign. And it's easy when you are off to a winless start through six games to just get drowned in the negatives. But right now, William Eklund in the last two games is an emergence as a positive. And I think that as the Sharks do find their way into this season, and eventually they will be able to get wins, William Eklund's presence offensively and defensively is going to play a big role, especially on the power play. And I think that, you know, just for him to be able to convert and get the Sharks back into the game, that was a big moment. He's got 4 points up to this point of the year, 4 points through six games. If he was helping the Sharks win, people would be a lot more positive on that. I think it's been a quiet 4 points until that goal last night, but I am not complaining at this point. I think the Sharks, whatever offense comes their way, they've got to be happy with it. And right now, while they are still figuring it out, seeing William and Eklund in particular more active overall and more a part of the Sharks' offensive flow and overall game flow, that's a thing that you can build upon. And I think that we're going to watch William Eklund be more impactful over the next 10 games. I would not be surprised if he gets really hot and starts having multiple point games, starts finding himself consistently being on the score sheet, consistently putting up multi-point games. William Eklund has that ability. He's not going to overwhelm you the way that some players will in the NHL with their overall production, but I think that consistency is a part of his game. He's figuring out some of his teammates. He's figuring out his game in this early part of the year, and I feel when I watch him, like the last two games, something has clicked, and now he's found that game that he had at the end of last year, and I'm excited to see what comes next. We had another start from Vitek Vanecek last night, and I thought that he looked pretty darn good. I know that there was an empty netter and that he's on the hook for three goals before that, but you know, the Sharks netminders have not been the issue so far this year. I'm sure there are some that they want back, but they have not been the issue. And I think that's the hard part, because you look at the way that the team has not played in front of them and put them in bad situations. That's life as a goalie in the NHL. I'm sure Vitek Vanacek and Mackenzie Blackwood would like to have made more saves, would like to have made more stops, would like to have come up with a big stop in the big moment to maybe keep the Sharks in it. But, you know, you would love it if it happens, but you have to be more realistic. I would rather see the Sharks cut down on some of the grade A opportunities they're allowing as opposed to their goalie just standing tall. Your goalie standing tall is great when you can get it, but it's better, in my opinion, to be more sound defensively and more just complete as a team to not put your goalie in those situations. But, you know, when you've only given up two goals going into the third period and you're at home, I come back to the idea that that's a game that you should walk away with a winnable opportunity. The Sharks didn't, because their offense isn't there right now, but I am not looking at Vitek Vanacek as being a problem, and I've been impressed with all of his performances up to this point. Yeah, you can, you know, look at him and you know, the goals that he gave up against Winnipeg the other night because he was on the hook for three in that game. I don't hold that against him. He came in a very difficult situation. He wasn't the starting goalie. He had to come in and play relief for Mackenzie Blackwood. Winnipeg was feeling great. They were having a fun time, like Nico Sturm said after the game, which is a horrible feeling for the Sharks, because you don't want to be a team that the opposition has a fun time against. But ultimately, the Sharks goalies have not been the problem. That's one of my big takeaways the first six games of this year. Could they be better? Sure, you could say that of almost any goalie in the NHL, but these goalies and Vitek Vanacek, what we've seen from him so far, healthy, back finding his game, this is good. This is ultimately what you were hoping to see from Vitek Vanacek. He's giving you a chance. Conversely, the Sharks are not giving their goalies the offensive support that they deserve. This is something that I was worried about in the preseason. You watch their offense, and it just didn't look like the goals were coming easy. And I don't think that any of the Sharks' goals this year have come particularly easy. And yes, Tyler Toffoli has done a phenomenal job of just, you know, using his rear end and creating space next to the crease or on top of the crease and getting a quick tap goal. And that's great. Those are great goals that you want to see. You want a player who's not afraid to get into the difficult, tight, gritty spaces and be able to make something happen. But, you know, just beautiful puck work like we've seen tic-tac-toe from Dallas, from Chicago, that has not defined many of the Sharks' goals this year. And I have not seen anything that's been particularly like, wow, that was beautiful hockey. I've seen great individual plays. I've seen good setups. But I have not seen something that's looked like, wow, that was poetry in motion. That was a great goal. That's something that the Sharks still need to work on. And I also think that the lack of finishing is something that maybe we look at and say, why is that occurring? There's a couple things at play. The guys might be gripping. They might be just a little bit tight. They might be trying to just do a little bit too much. That will change as they get deeper into the year. They get that first win behind them. They'll be able to finish with a little bit more comfort, because I think that is part of the narrative right now. But for San Jose, it's not always going to be a beautiful effort like he got from William Eklund.
Controlled now by Granlund. Moves down the wing, in back behind the Colorado net. Holding the puck, stick handling up near side, stopping inside the circle. Backing up away from O'Connor, moving into the circle in front. Eklund shoots, and he scores! Top shelf for William Eklund. That play was beautifully designed by Mikhail Granlund, who gets the primary assist. And Eklund back in the lineup tonight. Avalanche 2, Sharks 1. With only 1:35 to go.
And I will take those brilliant individual effort plays any day of the week. I will love them. That was a great goal by William Eklund. A great assist from Mikhail Granlund. The Lund brothers, they know how to get it done. And Tyler Toffoli, he got in on the scoring as well. So, I mean, he just continues to be an absolute monster for the Sharks and a great signing. 4 goals and 3 assists, 7 points through 6 games. That's phenomenal. That's everything you could ask for in your top free agent signing. He continues to just work his tail off, and that's exactly what you need to show to everybody else. And apologies, my voice is still coming back. It still doesn't have all the strength that it otherwise would love to have right now. But, you know, next up for the Sharks is going to be a very challenging road trip. They are at Anaheim on Tuesday. They are at LA on Thursday. They are at Vegas on Saturday, and then they are at Utah on Monday. Then they're back home, and they're going to play host to LA, which is another challenging game. And then they play host to Connor Bedard and the Blackhawks, which I would hope that we get the Macklin Bedard Bowl that we're all hoping for. Then they continue home on Saturday the 2nd, hosting Vancouver. Then on Tuesday the 5th, they host Columbus. Then they are hosting Minnesota on the 7th. Then they are back out on the road on the East Coast against New Jersey, Philadelphia, New York, the Pens, before they're back home on Monday the 18th against Detroit. And I bring this all up because I think that there is, in the back of everyone's mind, the fear of this snowballing into a start like what we saw a year ago. And I think that when you look at what San Jose had in terms of talent a year ago, the Sharks are in a better place right now. Yes, they don't have Macklin Celebrini. They will have Macklin Celebrini, but they also have a better and more experienced William Eklund. They also have a better and more experienced Fabian Zetterlund. They have a better and more experienced Mikael Granlund, who was injured after, what, halfway through the first game a year ago. Things will trend in a more positive direction for the San Jose Sharks. And Nico Sturm said, you know, after the last game that, you know, the Sharks had taken steps backwards, and that's good. You have to acknowledge it. It does feel a little bit like a year ago in certain ways, but a year ago, there was a lot less talent on the ice. You didn't know about the Lund line. You didn't know about some of the top-level contributors that you get through the course of the season. You didn't have Tyler Toffoli, like I said. I mean, you didn't have Jake Walman. You didn't have Cody Ceci. The team overall is better right now, and that will give them a chance. And there is no easy game in the NHL, right? Like, you're not just going to get that opportunity where suddenly everybody sits down for you and lets you waltz into the net. No, like, it's going to be a battle every single time, and there aren't going to be no easy wins for the San Jose Sharks. But as they get to know each other in terms of their new teammates, as they figure out who and what they are as a team, they'll play better. I have no doubt about it. They'll play better, and they'll find themselves in a better situation overall, and they'll find the wins, and they'll move away from this narrative of the last year repeating itself. But again, that's not going to be easy, and it shouldn't. This is the National Hockey League. There is literally nothing easy. All right, I'm trying to get my voice through this, but it is not wanting to give you as much strength as you deserve. Here's head coach Ryan Warsowski in his presser after the game.
Better than Winnipeg, I'd say that. Still got to try to find a way to, you know, create some more offense, win a hockey game.
You know, wing, create more offense. What, I mean, Eklund said you guys need to get inside more. It looked like he did that at times tonight. What can you guys do as a whole to kind of create opportunities to get to the inside?
Yeah, I think there's some systematic things that we do that create getting us to the inside. We got to do it more consistently. I'd say the biggest thing.
Jack Thompson played his first game. Was Benning just a rotation? Is there something going on with
Benning? No, Benning's fine. Just wanted to get Jack in. He was good tonight.
What do you think of Jack and Henry? You know, Henry, there's a lot of Henry's fight too.
Thought Henry was his best game I've probably seen him play in the National Hockey League. He was engaged from the start, moving pucks quick, good, responsible. I thought Jack was doing some really good things, engaged defensively, moving pucks quick was something we've talked to him about. So good for both those guys.
Was it good to see after you guys give up, get down 2-0, that you guys were able to kind of, you know, get yourselves up and
have
a pretty good second period?
Yeah, no give, so that's positive. But in this league, it's wins and losses, right? So we did some really good things tonight. There's some things we got to improve on and continue to develop individually and collectively.
Do you like that rat that you see, a little bit of that rat you see in William Eklund's game? Or do you want even more of that from him?
No, yeah. I mean, I think he can play with some jam and some grit. It's always effective. It's an impact in a game in different ways. So yeah, it's good.
Will Smith mentioned that you guys are getting your chances, but not being able to finish is why you guys aren't scoring 5-on-5. Do you see maybe this guy maybe gripping the sticks a little too tight? Why do you think you guys aren't scoring?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we've created some more chances tonight than we have in games. Obviously, the shot quality quantity was up. More so, we need more quality chances and inside the you know, inside of the ice. There's opportunities for us to shoot probably some more that we're not. We're just going to continue to work on that aspect of our game.
Ryan, when will start to your tenure? Is it frustration or is it knowing it's inevitable that you guys will finally get it together?
It has nothing to do with me. It's about our group. We got to find a way to win a hockey game. Again, we've done some really good things, and you know, probably 4 out of our 6 games, you could arguably say our record could be different, but at the end of the day, our record is what it says, right? So I know our guys are digging in, and we care, we're trying, and it's going to come. We just got to keep plugging away.
And that has to be the messaging, right? Like, there is nothing specifically that a coach is going to say that's automatically going to tell the media and the fans, hey, this is what's wrong, guys. We just got to do this, and we'll fix it. No. The Sharks are working on multiple aspects of their game right now. They are working on all the little things, the details, the finishing, eliminating penalties. There's a lot of things that they need to work out of their game right now. But I think that one of the more important things that Ryan Warsawski said during that presser was that, you know, it's not just about him. It's about the group. It's about the collective. And ultimately, you know, I think people want to look at the coach and say that, oh, his tactics or his management or whatever it is the problem. And I don't know if people are saying that right now, but I think we go to the coach as if he has all the answers. And no, I mean, he's got to put it on the players. I think that Ryan Warsawski has his job, and I'm not trying to absolve him of any of the you know, issues that have taken the team, you know, out of games up to this point of the year, because everyone's involved. But I do think it's up to the players on the ice. They've got to figure it all out. They've got to give themselves that opportunity going forward. And I will note that that audio was courtesy NBC Sports California. And now here's Mario Ferraro after the game. This audio courtesy San Jose Hockey Now.
Yeah, a lot better tonight for sure. That's all we had more before check going. We were getting pucks back. We spent less time in our own end for sure. We were back to ending plays a little quicker. Neutral zone game was a little faster. Yeah, so it was definitely better, but you know, still some mishaps and a little bit of a, you know, some struggle to put the puck in the back of the net 5-on-5.
Eric, would you see that give a run to goal there in the third period?
Just a little bit of missed coverage from D zone. I don't know. I should have done a better job beforehand, before that play resulted in trying to get the puck up the ice past their defenseman. I tried to make a direct pass, got turned over, and then 30 seconds later, they ended up scoring. So, yes, I think a little bit of some struggle coming off the battle on the wall, some coverage struggle. But I mean, it starts with me. I got to get that puck deep.
Nice to see maybe some pushback. I mean, Henry gets into that fight, and William Eklund's mixing it up with Cale. I mean, good things to see from those guys, I guess.
Yeah, we need that stuff, so that's big. It was good to see Cunny too, and then the young guys contributing in that way. We're going to need that.
What was the message after the Winnipeg game to hear, whether from the coaching staff or just in the locker room?
Our identity, and sticking to our identity, and knowing that if we get away from that, we're not going to have any success. And it was full proof the last two games before this on the road. We just weren't playing the same way that we were the first few games. We came off of who we are as a team, and I think we just got a little lazy. So that was kind of the message, to go out there today and get back to the way that we need to play in order to win games. And, you know, we're closer. We still got some steps to take.
It was a third straight game. You guys have given up a 5-on-3. What do you guys have to kind of work on for the penalties?
Just overall discipline. Yeah, it's been a little crazy the last few games. I'm guilty of it as well. We just got to control our sticks and work a little harder to gain our ice instead of, you know, taking tripping penalties and stick penalties. It sucks. So we definitely got to, definitely doesn't help our case. So we got to try and stay out of the box.
So Mario, you think that penalty in the first period, too many men early on, do you think that kind of put you guys behind and it was just hard to get back on this team?
No, I thought we played pretty good beyond that. You know, we got a goal back to bring it back within one after they went up 2-0. Like I said, we just couldn't find a way to score or finish 5-on-5. We had our looks. We had our chances, shots on the point, guys going to the net. We couldn't get it finished with a goal there. So they kind of, you know, it kept the lead. And then when they extended it, it got even, you know, it looked even harder for us to come back. So we gotta try and keep digging away and keep trying to finish our chances.
Was it nice to see all the Super Mario fans today?
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, for sure. That's a buddy of mine that kind of set that up with a bunch of the young kids that play on a team out in out by San Francisco. So it was cool that they came to support. Without, you know, I wouldn't be here without people like that. So I'm grateful for them.
All right, good stuff always from Mario Ferraro, but we are out of time and my voice is out of strength, but it is slowly coming back. I appreciate y'all dealing with me this last week as I have been raspy Ted Ramey, according to Connor McGahee, the radio play-by-play voice of the Avs. All right, we will see you on Tuesday as we get ready for the Sharks to take on Anaheim. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.